We met so many years ago, and the work of the interchange group at that time, of course, was outstanding. The first tea or coffee?
Yeah, tea or coffee, one.
Cup of coffee.
Coffee, fine.
Coffee, yes, fine.
And then, of course, you've been active in so many areas that we've been interested in, like with Jordan, Nigeria, and so forth. The problem here, that of course so deeply concerns us, we know is one that you've been trying, like everybody else, to be helpful, but we don't seem to make much yardage. You have been in the South Vietnamese areas, but you're not in Hanoi yet. Is that the problem? That's where it stands.
I know, it is one of
the... Do you have any progress to report us, or we'd like to hear little progress?
Of course, very little progress, Mr. President.
Sure.
It is a very long way to go. We are trying to have contact with every people who is in direct contact with Pakistan.
Right.
I said today, for the first time, one of our collaborators will have direct contacts in Paris.
One
of our men. And this may seem a very, very limited step, but it is very important.
Is this your initiative or theirs?
It's our initiative that they accepted.
But they have tried before?
Always rejected every tentative.
This is the first. When did they accept your initiative? That would be important. Just recently?
Recently. Yes.
Last few days.
Last few days.
Last Friday,
she accepted to let the visit of my personal representative.
Who do they have on their side? Would it be like one of their negotiators or a...
I don't know exactly. They
have one of his
main representatives in Paris. And we find everything to gain some confidence in North Vietnam, because of course I must say that they consider us as a pro-American organization. Everybody intended to have some information for the American pilots.
Sure.
And I hope to have next month a delegation from the PGR. We'll get
some
authorities to come to Geneva. That would be the first time. Because I would like to explain to them that we are for more than 100 years an organization.
Absolutely.
Has a task to be...
You've got some interests involved, right? I mean, the International Red Cross has never been on any side, right? Except humanity.
It's quite true. And we must try to convince them that we are, even if we are not neutral in our parts, but neutral and impartial in our activity. And I hope that perhaps they begin to understand that.
Yeah.
That is one of our main reasons of concern, Mr. President, and be sure that we will not spare our efforts. We have, I must say, another reason for concern. And it is different sources from American sources. We hear from alleged atrocities in South Vietnam. And we don't have neither any possibility nor the desire or the intention to make investigations to know if that is or not.
Just in prison camps?
Or just in... Generally, during the
war,
during
the
capture of prisoners, towards speaking populations and so on. And it's not our task to control that. But we would be sure that these alleged facts are not true. very short, very striking
briefing about his roots.
Three or four sentences, lapidary sentences that could be written in the front of the Capitol to remind every American soldier that there is a code of honor to be respected, that the man captured must have his life respected, that must not be ill-treated. Civilian population must be protected, especially women and children. A few words directly from the president, the last of the soldiers, and I'm sure that by this public greatly improve not only American image throughout the world, but that could be a wonderful example. You know, perhaps that we have next month in Geneva a conference of government experts in development and improvement of international humanitarian law. I'm sure that American experts that as a wonderful example to the other countries, if in every country at war, at the highest level, an order should be given like that, a very short and striking code of honor and of conduct, should alleviate suffering. And I suggest that you respond.
Oh, yes. We of course have very strict rules. You hear, for example, stories of, for example, I know Mr. Congressman went over to Laos and he said that the American pilots are going to try to bomb Laotian villages and that the northern Laos, and that as a result, the camps were full of Laotians. It's a complete lie. He knew it was a lie. Because the actual matter, the fact of the matter was that they, of course, had their 50,000 North Vietnamese in Laos. They had driven them out of the villages. And it was only after they'd been driven out that any bombing attacks took place. But anyway, the difficulty is that except for individual acts, as you know in war, just as in society generally, there are most men are good. They do their best. They carry follow the rules. There are always some bad ones. And we try, as we have in our own trials, cut short those that violate the rules of engagement. That is what we believe. That's what we try to do. We're up against an enemy, of course, that does not, as you, Chris, you're well aware, that has no rules. 56,000 village leaders and chiefs decapitated over the last 15 years by North Vietnamese and the VC. 500,000 starved to death in North Vietnam. And he visited Vietnam.
Yeah.
Visited the refugee camps there. I've seen refugees in North and South, mostly Catholics. So the cities that were visited upon by the North Vietnamese, their utter refusal to
every, not only the top people, but all the people who actually were engaged in the operations in England. And we reviewed in great detail what the orders are, what the rules of engagement are, so that we could be absolutely sure that by inadvertence the charges couldn't be true, or that there couldn't be any misunderstanding about our subordinates, about the policy. I know you didn't raise this issue, but about the policy that's related, that we are not bombing civilians.
So,
and we went through it area by area. And we do give the facts to the congressional committees. And, I'm mentioning all these things. I mean, if the president's concerned, we knew what the formal orders were.
But we want to be sure to clean all that out. As you say, you never know when that soldier, whether he's got it in his pocket and is looking. You're right.
Well, may I tell you, Mr. President, a little anecdote, and I was an officer, a young officer, good enough at the time, but I had a soldier, and we were on the German border. I asked him, what will you, if you are invaded by Germans, and if you capture a German, what are you doing with him? And of course, with a big smile, he answered me, well, I killed him, but before that, I made him suffer. And, well, that, I always remember that, because it was not a bad guy, but that is important to know where I came, that the last soldier, he had the same orders as every other soldier in every army. But I suppose that had he had a direct warning from the highest level in the country, he would have not answered like that. My concern, would it be possible to have the last soldier directly warned? Our work, of course, in our house toward the American prisoners would be greatly facilitated if the moral image of the U.S. Army would be actually I know that there are no clean wars, sadly, but at least that government has been very clear as a positive step.
McGregor told me
today, conventions were managing and prepared for conventional international conflict, and not for the kind of conflict we know today, internal conflict, internal troubles. To be able to have a new, perhaps not new treaties, but new protocols, permitting us to act and to intervene, also in internal conflicts, for the protection of these victims.
Internal conflict? Yeah, I mean like a civil disturbance?
Very important to have in mind here, a situation where the American
son, shall we say, in this terrible experience of war, and others, perhaps. I think the excuse for defense of any atrocity, whenever it occurs, that's a part. It does,